Record. I'm your host, Kaylee Miller. Thousands of British Columbians stood next to their neighbors on the lawn of the BC Legislature on Monday. People gathered in Victoria for the Defend Our Coast rally, a protest against the proposed Enbridge and Kinder Morgan pipelines. Today, members from 62 communities across the province are expected to continue the protest at NDP and Liberal MLA offices. These Canadians want to show the provincial and federal government that their coast is not for sale and are willing to stop at nothing to protect the beauty of British Columbia. Joining us now is Zoe Blunt, who is an environmental activist and director of the Forest Action Network. Thank you for joining us today, Zoe.
Hi, Kaylee.
So for listeners who don't know about the pipeline projects, can you give a little bit of background information about what has been proposed?
There is a number of pipeline proposals right now to bring tar sands bitumen from Alberta to the BC coast, to Kitimat or to Burnaby, and then to load it into tankers, giant super tankers for transport to China. Some of those tankers would actually be coming right into Burnaby, into Burrard Inlet. And these are just two of many pipelines that are proposed. Not all of them are tar sands pipelines. Some of them are connected to the fracking fields in northeast BC. And some of them, they're trying to reroute them through the United States. But there's a whole series of enormous pipeline projects, and this is a rally to put an end to that.
What could potentially be the environmental impact if the pipelines did go ahead?
The environmental impact could be absolutely devastating. We've seen such a long and record of spills and blowouts in the Enbridge pipelines. They do have pipelines in Michigan, for example, in Kalamazoo. There was a very, very tragic pipeline blowout that contaminated a huge section of the Kalamazoo River. We're finding now that the Enbridge executives and their safety technicians were not really prepared for this, that they didn't have a good plan to prevent it, to identify the leak, and to stop it, let alone to clean it up. And the cleanup is, of course, the worst part. This bitumen is much more corrosive and heavier than ordinary crude oil, which itself is really very difficult to clean up. And so we have a situation where the bitumen will tend to sink to the bottom of a river. It'll tend to, it has more tendency to eat through the pipes. And so this is just the overland part. You know, just to build the pipeline, they plan to bulldoze hundreds and hundreds of kilometers of forest and wetlands and build crossings over about 1,000 rivers and streams and watercourses. And once it reaches the coast, then we're in a situation where they want to load this bitumen into oil tankers, into super tankers larger than the ones that we've seen in the past. You know, we do have tankers that come into Burnaby from time to time, but these ones would be much, much larger, much more difficult to maneuver through the coastal waters. And in the case of the Kitimat delivery, the Kitimat port, they would be weaving through the Douglas Channel. They would be going through the passage between Vancouver Island and the mainland, which is very dangerous, very rocky, strong tides. So the risk of environmental contamination with this diluted bitumen is almost 100%. Over time, you know, it is virtually guaranteed that there would be a blowout somewhere in the pipeline. There would be a spill on one of the tanker routes.
So even though some would argue that the pipelines will bring huge economic growth to our province, you still believe that the impact the pipeline will have on the environment is more important than the thousands of opportunities that could potentially be created for Canadians?
There are no thousands of opportunities for people in British Columbia. The pipeline building crew comes from Alberta. In fact, under terms that are being negotiated right now with China and the free trade agreement, they could be Chinese crews coming to build the pipeline. There will be no substantial long-term jobs for British Columbians. There will be no substantial long-term benefit for British Columbia at all, although we will carry the entire risk of the project. Any benefits will come to Alberta and to China. China will be refining the oil, and they will be using it, or possibly shipping it back to us at a higher rate. So what we've been seeing is, yeah, this is what Christy Clark, the Premier, is trying to negotiate. She thinks that if we can get more economic benefits, perhaps it will be more acceptable. But our environment is priceless. And there are billions of dollars in tourism and in fisheries and salmon. And these are the things that British Columbians want to protect. And they won't put a price on it.
So take us back to Monday. I want to explain to listeners who weren't there, what was the atmosphere like? What was it like to be in a group of people who were all fighting for the same thing? Can you bring us back to that day?
It was incredibly unified. There was such a powerful sense that people are standing shoulder to shoulder. They are incredibly determined to stop these pipeline projects. So it was really validating. And, the official police estimate, I think, was 3,500. That was their highest estimate. I think it was actually much more than that. The lawn of the legislature was almost entirely full and packed. And many, many First Nations people came from all over the coast and from the interior. And they are promising an unbroken wall of opposition to the Enbridge Northern Gateway Pipeline. Other nations have signed onto the Fraser Declaration and the Salish Sea Declaration to make another unbroken wall of opposition to the Kinder Morgan pipeline. As it was incredibly uplifting, even though it was cold and it was rainy, and it was just jammed. You know, it was really amazing. I've never seen so many people so adamant about one issue in my whole time living in British Columbia.
And the purpose of the event was to show the federal and provincial government that British Columbians, well, some British Columbians, are overwhelmingly opposed to the proposed pipelines. Do you think that they were successful in sending that message?
Right, yeah. We not only showed how opposed people are to the pipelines, we showed how much people are willing to do, how far people are willing to go to stop the pipeline. So hundreds and hundreds of people risked arrest on the lawn of the legislature yesterday. They unfurled a 250-meter-long banner. It was all black, and this represents the size of one of the new supertankers. And what we did was unfurl that around the lawn of the ledge. It's too large to fit even across the huge lawn of the legislature. And then people pounded stakes, and they staked it into the ground to demonstrate that, you know, we're not going to move on this. We're putting a stake through this pipeline.
You're listening to For the Record, and my guest today is Zoe Blunt, the Director of Forest Action, and we're talking about the Defend Our Coast rally that was held at the legislature on Monday. The protest is against the proposed Enbridge and Kinder Morgan pipelines. So some people are wondering, the demonstrators were essentially protesting in front of an empty building because the governing Liberals have canceled the fall sitting of the legislature. Why didn't organizers wait till they were in session? Do you think that they would have had a larger impact if there were people in session there?
This is just the first of these rallies in British Columbia. There's been two others in Ottawa and in Washington, D.C. last year. The issue is too urgent for us to wait. You know, we do need to send a message now. And I think that, yes, there will definitely be more rallies like this. There will be more civil disobedience if this project is going forward, or either of these projects, any of these projects. If they're going forward, there's going to be a really strong pushback from people in British Columbia. There will be an opportunity, of course. Sometimes the legislature has to go into session, and at that point we'll be there for sure.
And I want to talk a little bit about you. What has your involvement been in this environmental movement?
I'm just a volunteer with the coalition, the Defend Our Coast Coalition. And what I was doing was helping people with training them to do nonviolent civil disobedience, helping them understand, you know, de-escalation, conflict resolution. I was helping with the marshalling, so to make sure that people understood that, you know, if you participate in this action, you could be risking arrest, and to make sure that everybody stayed calm and that there were no there's no incidents. And it went very smoothly. Everybody was very peaceful and very glad to be there to be able to show in a really tangible, physical way, you know, that they're standing up to stop the pipeline.
And speaking of that, some people at the protest said that they were willing to actually break the law if the pipelines were built. Did you see any type of violence, or was there anything like that at this event?
No, it was absolutely peaceful. And, you know, all the people participating and were aware that we were asking everyone to stay absolutely peaceful and dignified and calm. And people did break the law. Pounding the stakes into the lawn of the legislature is against the law. So the police would have been... would have been within their rights to, within their jurisdiction, certainly, to arrest people at that point. They chose not to.
And for listeners who want to take action and get involved in this movement, can you suggest how they can do so?
People can get involved in their own communities today by going to defendourcoast.ca. And what's happening is people all over British Columbia are going to their MLA's offices to link arms and let them know, again, you know, we absolutely oppose these pipelines. We expect you to represent us and vote no. And so this is an opportunity for people all over. I think there are 60 communities now that are participating, but people can certainly sign up and take that action themselves. And the reason being that, you know, our elected officials know how strongly people feel about this. You know, they have polls, they hear from their constituents all the time, and they're still not being responsive. They're still not doing the right thing. So at this point, we have to ramp it up. We have to make sure if they can't hear us through the ordinary channels, then we're going to amplify that, and we're going to continue doing that until these projects are stopped.
Do you get the feeling at all that these pipeline projects are going to be approved?
It's looking increasingly dim, especially for the Enbridge Northern Gateway pipeline. And Kinder Morgan, of course, really shot itself in the foot when their pipeline blew out in Burnaby. They already have a pipeline, and they want to double it, but their safety record, it doesn't look so good. Their cleanup record doesn't look good at all. You can ask the people in Burnaby whose homes and neighborhood was sprayed by oil spewing from that pipeline. So it's going to be a real struggle. You know, I really can't call it one way or the other, and we certainly can't relax until we know that there's a really sane energy plan. You know, we really need some sanity in our energy plan. We can't just rush in and just exploit every resource that we have. And even even regardless of the impact of the pipelines and the tankers, the impact on climate, we're already seeing the effects of climate change. It's very, very damaging. So this is just going to continue.
And so what's next for you, an environmental activist, regarding this issue?
What we've been doing is hands-on helping people on the front lines of this battle and the people who are most impacted, and they are the traditional First Nations in the path of the pipeline. So the Wet'suwet'en First Nation, a group within that the Wet'suwet'en, the Unist'ot'en clan, are building a settlement in the path of the pipeline itself. Like they've seen where the flagging tape has gone in and where it is on the, they've seen the surveying crews coming in. So they're building homes, they're building houses, and they're defying the companies to evict them from their own land. And we're standing with them. We've been shipping them food and money and volunteers and building supplies. We went up there for a week in August. And this is at First Nations near Smithers. And this is where we're putting our supporters, with people who are on the front lines. You know, we're really hoping that it doesn't come to the point where tankers are standing off the coast here. So we want to stop it while it's upstream. You know, we want to be a little bit proactive.
And speaking of First Nations, you said that they're on the front line. What was their reaction to this at the event? How are they reacting to this?
They were front and center. You know, they were the first speakers. They were the majority of the speakers. They were incredibly unified. You know, I spoke about the unbroken wall of opposition, and that's what's really coming together on the First Nations front. You know, their land. Many of us settlers feel like, you know, well, we can just move if our area gets contaminated. I think it's really different for Indigenous people. They have a much stronger. They've pledged to defend the land. And they've pledged to die if necessary, some of them. I don't speak for any of the First Nations people, but this is what I've heard them say.
Thank you for coming on our show today, Zoe. That concludes our segment of For the Record. I'm your host, Kaylee Miller. We leave you now with a clip of First Nations Chief of the Squamish Nation, Ian Campbell, addressing the crowd at the Defend Our Coast rally.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to show that you care. Thank you for coming forward and standing together, because together we can stop this. Who's in it together? Together we are going to make a difference for our future generations, because what we do today will someday be traditional. It is a continuity of tradition. The people of this land, we will protect the Salish Sea. We will protect our way of life as people of this land together. So let's stand together and make our voice united as one, as has been taught to inspire our children. Thank you to the beautiful children that are standing up for the life of the water, of the air, of the land. This is who we are as a part of this beautiful world, the creation that has been provided. It is not for sale. The Squamish Nation is opposed to super tankers that will pollute our water and continue to threaten our way of life. So let's do this together, everybody!